Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Today we take a look at the story of a man, a farmer, living the simple life. That is, until the aliens showed up. Is it possible that this man was given a vision of what awaits all humans? Will we join our galactic brothers and spread across the galaxy, or will we just rot here on Earth? Because we can't stop killing each other. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. I hope you guys are having a great day too. Put a little asterisk next to that one. I'll explain it in a second. But we got a lot of stuff to cover today, so first off, running into Dead Rabbit Radio Command, everyone get on your feet and give it up for Green Spleen Submarine. Woohoo, yeah, wee, yay, wee, he's all walking on in. Wee, yay, yay, he's all looking around. He's like, Jason, you okay, dude? We'll talk about that in a second. Green Spleen Submarine made a donation during our Thanksgiving live stream. Yeah, we're still giving those shout-outs. I really appreciate everyone who was able to donate during that live stream. So because of that, Green Spleen Submarine, you're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. If you guys can't support the show financially through the merch store or Patreon or anything like that, I understand. I really, really do. Just help spread the word about Dead Rabbit Radio. That helps out so much. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone, you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. Green Spleen Submarine also has a YouTube channel where he reads green texts from mostly from the export that I've seen. So I'll put that in the show notes. Go ahead and check out his YouTube channel. Give him a sub. Let's keep this community growing. So today's a bit of a weird episode. To make a long story short, if you can't tell, I'm sick. I've been trying to keep it at bay the last 48 hours. I don't know exactly what it is yet. It's something minor, but you know, obviously, my voice is deeper. It's a little sexier. I know, you can take the good with the bad. My nose is running. I'm sick. And what happened was I recorded this episode in two chunks, but they were both too long to put together. I recorded the first half of an episode. I didn't feel good. I took a nap. I slept for quite a while. I woke up. I was like, okay, now I gotta finish the episode. Recorded a whole other, basically 50 minutes of material, and I go, I can't edit all, this episode will just be too long, I'm gonna have to break it in two. So what you will be hearing is the second half of the first episode. You're like breaking out a notepad, you're like, oh, what? I'm trying to figure it out. I didn't need to tell you guys any of that. I could have, with the magic of editing, I could have made it seem more concise. Basically, what I'm saying is, we're going to start off in the Carpenter Copter. We're going to listen to the, you're like, quit explaining it, Jason. Just play it. Okay, you're all washing your dishes. You're like, what? You're trying to do your homework? You're like, it's supposed to be background noise, bro. Now you're making me do word math, trying to figure this out. So Green Spleen Submarine will be back for tomorrow's episode, which is actually the first half of today's episode. But I will edit that and put that out tomorrow. This is the second half of today's episode. You will hear first. And that's where we're at. But it's both stories are really good. Both stories are really, really good. So I'm excited for you guys to hear them. So, and don't worry. What you're about to hear, the audio quality is less sick. I recorded it before I got this sick. This you're hearing the second half of my sickness. What you're about to hear is the first half of my sickness. So Green Spleen Submarine, I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys to the Carpenter Copter. We are leaving behind Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Fly us all the way out to Missouri. We're headed all the way back to Missouri. Specifically, we're headed to a farm outside of Mountain View, Missouri, in a place known as the Ozarks. It's a simple place full of simple people living a simple country life. But if you visited this farm in the late 50s, you know, you think you're going to see a couple pigs wallowing around in their own filth, maybe a cow. Throw a saddle on it. Giddy up, cow! Ride it around the farm. Maybe a dog sitting on the porch eating mosquitoes. Just normal farm life. But what you would actually find is hundreds upon hundreds of people there to meet Buck Nelson. Buck Nelson had a story to tell. He had shared it with a lot of local newspapers, and it spread like wildfire because back in the year 1954, July 30th, 1954, to be specific, Buck Nelson was just enjoying a nice afternoon out on his ranch. He's sitting on his porch and his dog, Ted, starts barking like crazy. Ruff, 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 ruff. Buck's like, what, Ted? Ted boy, what's going on? And then he hears his pony going crazy too. The ghost turns into Moaning Myrtle from Harry Potter. He's like, oh no, the pony is going crazy too. Like, what in tarnation can be going on out here? And he walks out and he's kind of looking around, doesn't see anything out of place. But then he looks up and sees three disc-shaped UFOs hovering in the sky. Now, Buck Nelson does what we want these people to always do. He immediately runs in, grabs a camera, and begins snapping pictures of these UFOs. Click. Click, click. Woof, woof, woof. Ted, Ted, calm down, buddy. I'm taking photos of them UFOs. Click. Dope. He also brought a flashlight out with him because he goes, well, you know, maybe I'll... It is 4 p.m, so this probably wasn't the best well-thought-out plan. But he goes, I'm going to use this flashlight. Maybe I'll signal the UFOs. Let them know I'm down here. So he pulls out his flashlight. He starts turning it on and off, hoping the UFOs see him. And his message is soon answered. All of a sudden, a blinding beam of light hits him and knocks him over into a water barrel. Oh, what? Oh, man. These were my best overalls. Now they're soaking wet. He gets up and he realizes a few things right away. First off, that UFOs are real and they're apparently dangerous. They have a pulse cannon that can knock you backwards. He also realized that his eyesight was better. He's like, what? What's wrong with you? I'm going to stop doing that voice. He goes, oh, look at my glasses. I don't need these anymore. He takes them off. He's all crushing them up in the soil. Chickens are eating the glass. He goes, I don't need glasses anymore after I got shot by that laser beam. And he also had really bad back pain previous to being shot into a water barrel. Somehow his back pain is cured. He's like, oh, look at this. Now he's really doing a jig, dancing a jig. He also had inflammation of his arm. This guy sounded like he had a lot of problems pre-UFOs. He had inflammation of the arm, probably what we nowadays call arthritis. Well, that's gone, too. Now he's, like, breakdancing. He's spinning around on his fingers. He's like, thanks, UFOs. I'm totally healed. And he's telling the story to all of these attendees at this UFO convention that he would hold on his farm. And we're sitting in the back. And we're like, you know, that actually does track with UFO encounters. Sometimes there have been reports of people being healed from diseases, sometimes deadly diseases. Kind of makes sense. And it's also a very popular message. It's one thing to say UFOs are out there. That's really cool. But if you can give people hope, people are showing up. They're like, my whole body's inflamed. Is the UFO going to come down and shoot me with a beam? Buck's like, I don't know. I don't know when they'll be back. They visited me a couple times, but maybe they'll heal you. What about me? I got gout. Look at my joints. I'm all gouted out. Yeah, maybe the UFO will save you too. And some little kid comes running in and he's like, I have the piles. I can't poop. All of my fecal matter is impacted in my intestine. And Buck's like, okay, guys, listen. The UFO might be able to heal you. I hope you guys didn't come here expecting to be able to have your injuries miraculously cured. But it did happen for me. It's a very positive message that the aliens can heal us so quickly. He also said the aliens gave him the 12 commandments. And if we follow these 12 commandments, we can actually join our space brothers and sisters and become part of the Galactic Federation. It's pretty much the 10 commandments, right? Just with two additional ones. I don't have the 10 commandments memorized. He does say, love your neighbor. That's a commandment. Thou shalt not kill. It's a pretty basic one. But the aliens included, that includes wars and accidents. I don't know how you can not kill people. If it's an accident, it's an accident. If I'm juggling anvils on the top of the Grand Canyon and one of them plummets 500 feet and crushes you while you're riding a burro on a sightseeing tour, I mean, that's not my fault. It's an accident. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Those things have already been pretty well covered by the original Ten Commandments. Thou must do as thou wish to be done by, which I think is the golden rule, right? What's that again? If you want something done to you, do it to somebody first. Something like that, right? Or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That was it. So anyways, no other god before me. You know, that's one of the normal ones. But then they have this one. Your body is God's. Do not misuse it in any way. Do not drink or eat anything that is not food. Okay. Some guy's eating a rock. He's like, ah. Can't eat anything that's not food. Use nothing to harm the body either, inside or outside. Wear nothing on the body that harms it or is of no use. So I guess if you were wearing like, I don't even know what that would include. If you were wearing like, you're wearing a really itchy shirt and the aliens are like, you know, we really wanted Earth to join the Galactic Federation, but there's one guy in Boise, Idaho wearing a scratchy shirt. Sorry, broke a commandment. He has these 12 commandments and these people are listening with rapt attention. They're like, dude, this is totally dope. Like, I can do that, right? I can stop drinking. I can stop cheating on my wife. Maybe I'll get these diseases healed. Maybe I'll be able to fly around in a spaceship. And this all sounds fantastic, right? Who wouldn't want to fly around in a spaceship? Because Buck says that eventually the aliens let him fly around in a spaceship. We find through the universe. Well, this is a really interesting story. Because he's telling this story in the late 50s. So if in the late 50s, you were hearing him say, when it was 1954, I was abducted by aliens, they took me on an adventure, you'd be like, oh yeah, you know, that's probably real. But he wrote about this all in a book called My Trip to Mars. Like, okay, great, he's making it up, making it up. He wrote a book called My Trip to Mars, the Moon, and Venus. And people are like, woo, yeah, yeah, woohoo. Those are the three favorite planets. They're super close. And we all know there's alien life on Venus, possibly on Mars. We're in the back, we're a little disappointed. And I go, yeah, you know, obviously we have to take our modern day science and realize that something's wrong with this story. The question is, why? Like, did he make the whole thing up? Or is there something else at play here? Because he said his first encounter was in 1954, but he met these aliens multiple times after they shot him with that beam and cured all of his diseases. The UFOs left, but at a later point, they came back. One of these UFOs ends up landing at his farm at a later date, and out steps a 19-year-old human. A human named Bucky from Colorado. And he goes, hey, Buck. My name's Bucky. I know this might sound really weird. The fact that I just stepped out of a UFO is weird enough. Bucky's also not wearing any clothes. He's walking around naked. And Buck's like, yeah, this whole thing is completely off-putting. Can you put on some clothes? Bucky goes, sure. So Bucky grabs a pair of overalls, like those Oshkosh Bagosh overalls, And he puts him on, and he goes, hey, Buck, we've been to your house before, and we healed you from all those weird diseases you had. How would you like to fly around in a UFO with us? Buck goes, well, let me go get my dog, Ted. Let me go get my doggy, Ted. Can he come on the spaceship as well? And Bucky's like, yeah, sure, whatever. I don't care, dog. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Get on the UFO. So Ted, the dog, and Buck get on this UFO, and it takes off. While they're on the UFO, a bunch of craziness is happening. Bucky says, I recently moved to Venus. I used to live in Colorado. Oh, I live in Venus. The rent is unbelievably cheap. I live on Venus, and how would you like to visit Venus with me? Buck's like, dude, that sounds totally dope. He's like, okay, so let me give you a little tour of the spaceship. First off, here is the pilot. We're actually training him, so don't spook him, because he might veer into a pile of asteroids. And he was described as a wrinkled, just a wrinkled man, not like alien wrinkled. He wasn't like Droopy the dog. He was just a man with wrinkles, which I would have to say, how many wrinkles, how wrinkly do you have to be that you're on board a UFO and that it's still the only thing you can remember the person by? Like, I'd imagine pretty wrinkly, like absurdly wrinkly. Buck said there was a unnamed wrinkled trainee flying the saucer. There was also a 200-year-old man who didn't look a day over 19 called Bob Solomon. He's like, hey, Buck. And Buck brought his dog, Ted, but they already had a dog on board. They already had a dog on board named Big Bo. Wayne 385 pounds, which I think that's like a dinosaur weight. I think that's close to a triceratops. And you're like, Jason, this is clearly made up. We know there's no aliens on Mars or Venus. Why would the aliens have a giant dog? Why would they wear overalls? Well, I can answer one of those questions for you, because Buck says that all aliens wear overalls. Wherever you go in the solar system, when you meet someone from another planet, they're always wearing overalls. Coincidentally, the same clothes he wears. And coincidentally, the most popular clothing line in the Ozarks. He goes, aliens love overalls. And on this trip and on repeated trips, Buck does get to visit the planets. On Mars, Buck says, we flew all the way out to Mars, and you know, what do you know? Luck would have it. Mars looks a lot like the Ozarks. Looks just like it. Can't see it on a telescope. You're like, what? Isn't the Ozarks like forested? I don't know. Look just like the Ozarks. He says there's tons of agriculture along the canals. There's even cattle ranches. The cowboys of Mu Mesa. You'll see them up there. And all of the homes there are made of rocks. If you go to the moon, you have a bunch of people walking around in overalls, and they live in domed cities. And this is primarily a mining operation. Not a lot of people love working or love living on the moon, but it's definitely a place where you can get a good job. Venus, however, I guess some people would probably like this simple life and want to walk around and ride a Martian cow, but Venus is where us true sci-fi lovers would dwell. Advanced cities, futuristic landscapes on Venus with skyscrapers towering over everything and flying cars. Cars flying through the atmosphere. He also said that on Venus, they had these TVs. They're a lot like a television set, but you could also sit in front of your television set and go, TV, read me The Best of Times, The Worst of Times by Charles Dickens. And the television goes, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Kids ate gruel, and nobody had parents. And you're like, this is my favorite book, it's really cheering me up. Charles Dickens always puts a smile on my face. You could ask the TV to read you any book. You could also go, hey TV, can you play a little Stevie Wonder for me? And then it'd be like, I just called to say I love you. And you're like, oh, that's pretty dope. pretty interesting that that out of all of the stuff he said, that one thing came true. Out of every possible piece of nonsense he stated, you could go, oh, that's kind of like a Siri or smart TVs. Also, people on Venus only worked 1 hour a day. This is pretty good. They also all wore overalls. That was just kind of the fashion of space. Buck also realizes, and this really comes down to the commandments, Buck realizes that off-worlders, who would be Earthlings in this scenario, don't do drugs. They require no police department. There's zero wars, very low taxes, and their goal is to elevate us measly Terran dwellers, to their level, because they want us to join this galactic brotherhood. They're trying to help us out. Well, he ends up, so that all happened in 1954. He ends up writing a letter about it to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And they publish it. They thought it was hilarious, right? They go, oh, this guy's clearly nuts. Let's publish this letter in the newspaper. And, you know, everyone's eyes are towards space at this time, because we're in the very, very early days, probably pre-space race. But people are thinking about it. Governments are talking about it, trying to put a satellite in space, a man in space, a man on the moon. So when someone comes out with this absolutely bizarre tale saying he's been to those places, newspaper editors got a chuckle out of it. And there was a little bit of pressure on him, because they would ask him questions, being like, well, do you have any proof? Like, clearly, if you went to Venus, you think you could, like, stole one of these television sets. Or if you went to the moon, you could have stolen a dome, a bunch of people suffocated, for proof. And he goes, okay, I didn't bring back any proof, but what I did was I left a little American flag on each planet and the moon that says Flag of USA from planet Earth, given to Venus or moon or Mars by Buck Nelson. So he says, someday we'll go up there. The space race will be as successful, and people may not believe me now, but when they get up there and they find a little tiny American flag with a plaque on it, then obviously I'm going to be vindicated, and the newspapers are like, that sounds good to us. I mean, that's the only question we have. Let's go ahead and publish this. Ends up becoming extremely popular, not just locally. Around town, people were saying, I don't know if he went there or not. Some people thought he was a kook. Some people thought he was the real deal. And some people go, I don't know. I mean, he could be telling the truth. The story begins to grow. By 1958, he holds his first UFO convention. Several hundred people poured into the area. And he thought there was going to be more. He thought there was going to be a lot more. Apparently, he was expecting 10,000 people. So he bought a truck, not like a Ford pickup truck, but I imagine like a big box truck. He bought an entire truck full of hot dog buns. Not even the hot dogs, just hot dog buns. Because he thought, oh, dude, these people are going to come all the way here and they want to hear me talk about UFOs and stuff. And they'll be here and I'll sell them hot dogs. He's all slaughtering pigs in the back. He comes back smelling like filth. He's like, let me tell you about Venus. Every time he gesticulates, blood and guts are flying off of his hands. He bought enough hot dog buns to feed 10,000 people, apparently. And only a couple hundred. That's still a huge showing. But he was kind of not so happy about it. He wasn't mad, but he just was hoping for more people. Also, I guess there were vendors there. And this was an interesting thing. The newspaper article, because they would cover this. This went on for a couple years. He'd hold these conventions. By 1960, we're now at the third annual convention. And you have people coming from all over the United States to come to Buck's Ranch. And they would want to hear him talk. You'd want to hear that message, and they would also be looking up at the sky. Maybe they could also see a UFO. Buck loved telling his story. He also used the opportunity to sell his book, My Trip to Mars, the Moon, and Venus, as well as other books. We'll get into that in a second. 1960s convention, it was the third annual convention, and apparently, like, after all is said and done, I don't know how long these lasted. I think it was like an overnight thing because people were camping there. Buck says, hey, everyone, thank you so much for coming out to my third annual UFO convention. I hope all of your diseases have been cured. I hope you guys have been hit with a blinding ray of light. But I got something to tell you. I haven't been completely honest with you. I am not Buck. People are like, huh, what? He goes, although this body may be Buck's body, I'm actually Bucky. People are like, super confused. They're like, wait, is that a nickname? Huh? No, it's not a nickname. I'm Bucky. I'm the 19-year-old UFO pilot from his book that's still on sale. You can pick up a copy. I'm Bucky, and I've just when you thought the story couldn't get any weirder. Bucky, the UFO pilot from Venus, originally from Colorado, moved to Venus, possessed Buck's body and gave the whole convention, did the whole speech, meeting and greeting with people. And Bucky goes, wearing overalls, right? Buck wears overalls and all the aliens wear overalls, so it was fine. Bucky goes, I possessed the body of Buck because I wanted to talk to you in person. The real Buck is sitting at home, probably my home. He's probably raiding the fridge. He's on Venus. Buck is on Venus and he's watching this live. Everyone wave up into the sky. There's a UFO up there. Can't see it. Wave, everybody. Wave towards the planet Venus. Buck is watching us now, and I'm Bucky. Okay, can you cure our diseases? Since you're here, since you're an actual alien, why didn't you tell us that at the beginning? Why did you? That would have been, I definitely would have, like, bought every book. For the beginning of the convention, you said I'm a space alien. But anyways, nobody asked those questions. I don't know. No one's diseases were cured. And the real Buck transferred back into his body. The next, how are you going to follow that up, right? You have to do a next convention after that. That can't be your last time doing it. Everyone's going to be like, dude, I have to go to the 4th annual UFO convention in Mountain View, Missouri. Last year, an alien showed up. An alien showed up. Imagine if you don't come to the Ghost Conference, the Oregon Ghost Conference. You're like, ah, oh, you know, it's kind of far out or whatever. And then this is the conference where an actual ghost is like giving a speech on what it is to be a ghost. And everyone's like, their jaw is dropped. Everyone's like, what in the world? You'd have to go to the next one. So by the time the 4th one was coming up, 1961, it doesn't say attendance spikes, which I imagine should be through the roof. And apparently Buck comes out on stage and he's like, I'm not Bucky. Last year, me and Bucky traded places. This year, I am Buck. But at the end of the convention, he goes, remember that thing I said in the beginning where I was Buck and not Bucky? That was a lie. I'm actually a guy from the Galactic Council who lives on the planet Zacton. People are like, who's that? He's not in any book. He's like, yeah, but I'm still an alien. Isn't that cool? And they're like, I guess it's like fan fiction, non-canon alien. They're like, is that in your book? Where's the planet Zacton? He's like, ah, it's way in the middle of the Milky Way. You'll never see it. But I'm from Zacton. I think it was less hard-hitting. That's the difference between meeting Darth Vader or meeting, like, Buttface Man from the cantina. Like, yeah, an alien's an alien, but one of them I know. One of them I know cures diseases, and the other one is just a weird alien guy. But anyways, now we're running up into the early 60s. Now we're going to start having a problem with Buck Nelson's story, because although it wasn't like this huge cult, he definitely had a following. But now we're starting to see scientific advancements. We can actually start sending stuff up into space. In science, the scientific community starts making hard calls about the solar system. One of the ones they said, they go, it is impossible for there to be life on Venus. Growing up, I believed there was life on Venus because I had an old set of encyclopedias that said there were dinosaurs on Venus. That's how old the encyclopedia set was. Because all we saw was cloud cover. So the theory based on the observation was it's like a rainforest in there. It must be massive, massive jungles. Probably dinosaurs are probably delayed as far as our evolutionary system. But sure, we could send probes up there. We'd probably see like a Triceratops fighting a T-Rex. Not only was I taught that, I repeated that fact for probably 20 some odd years. I would be talking to friends and they'd be talking about life. Is there life on other planets? And I would go, that's the dumbest question. We know that. I said this so many times as an adult. Nobody ever called me on it. I go, I don't understand why people question whether or not there's life on other planets. There's dinosaurs on Venus. We know there's giant plants on Venus. So, like, why is it a big deal if we find germs on Mars? Nobody ever said, Jason, I don't think that's true. I'm pretty sure there are no dinosaurs on Venus. No one ever called me on it. And I remember talking about it a lot when we'd sent up one of the early rovers. Like, at this point, late 90s, early 2000s. I repeated that fact a lot. And then one day I was in thinking, I go, wait a second. Why is everyone jazzed when we find microbes if there's dinosaurs on Venus? And I looked it up and it was like, yeah, back in the 50s and the 40s, people thought there was dinosaurs. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. I had an old set of encyclopedias. Anyways, we start to realize these things. There's no canals on Mars. All the water is stored in the ice caps. So attendance keeps dropping pretty steadily. By 1966, 30 people show up to the UFO convention on Buck's farm. But Buck wasn't gonna, you know, let everything just kind of die out. He did believe that the government, either wittingly or unwittingly, was stopping UFOs from visiting Earth. He said basically since 1964, with the increase and the advancement of radar systems in the United States, it was messing with the aliens' UFOs' controls. It's throwing them off course. They couldn't visit as much. That's an old UFO conspiracy theory, 100%. I heard that may have been what caused the Roswell crash. The aliens weren't aware that there was a radar dish in that area because it was a fairly new technology, I believe. I think it was developed in World War II. But yeah, as radar was becoming more advanced, it was actually messing with their navigation, causing them to crash. He also said at one point, 3 7- to 8-foot tall men visited him at home, kind of to intimidate him. Oh, and also they were wearing coveralls, not overalls. So maybe from a rival faction. They killed his cat. He said that these giant men showed up at his farm one day. His cat was sick. His cat was sick anyways. You're like, oh, it's a kitten. No, it was a pretty old barn cat. It was sick, and these dudes show up and they disintegrated the cat with some sort of beam. But here's the thing. Is that going to get you to go to a convention? Like, having your diseases cured, finding out there's life on Venus, there's no war, there's no drugs, there's no police. That'll get you off your butt to drive 50 miles to go see this. You're not going to be like, oh, is this where the cat got disintegrated? There's a big bloody burned mark on the porch. He's like, yep, that's where the cat got disintegrated. You take a couple pictures and leave. It's not a real... You're not going to eat many hot dogs after hearing that story. You're like, I think I'm good, bro. 3 years after that last convention, so about 1969, his house burned down. Buck Nelson blamed arson, right? He said it wasn't an accident. Someone burned his house down. He ended up moving out of the area. And at that point, history has kind of lost track of Buck. You look at newspapers of the time, because this guy was a pretty recognizable figure, because it was such a bizarre story, and he kept holding these conventions, and like I said earlier, locally, he was super well known. No one really hated him. Some people just thought the stories were made up. He apparently moved to California to, quote, be with his own kind. That was a quote from a newspaper article, meaning, you know, just a bunch of weirdos out in California. And the next thing that we can guess is him dying in 1982. So he lived up to what, his early 80s, late 70s. Apparently the website Find a Grave has a grave in California, if I remember correctly, of him. Wikipedia says that he died in 1982 in California, but that's unconfirmed. It could just be someone with the same name. We don't know for sure. Locally, people celebrate Buck now because it's such a fun story. There's a place called the Cosmic Coffee where it has like copies of his books like framed up, and they have all this memorabilia from his UFO conventions. It's kind of like a more quaint Roswell or Area 51. That is interesting. We got a plot twist here to this story. He said, because at a certain point he stopped farming. He stopped farming and people go, hey, you know, this was a farm, but I don't see you growing no corn. And he said, my crops are my books. And that's what I do now. My trip to Mars, the Moon, and Venus is at 7 printings. Can't keep them in stock. So that's what I do. I just write and sell books. That's how I make my money. So you're right. I don't farm anymore. He did write that book. He also wrote a second book. And each book would kind of advertise the next book. And his conventions would advertise the books and so on. He wrote a book called Unusual and Little Known Facts That Are in Our Bible. It's just, you know, biblical stuff, probably. Weird stories. And he has in that an ad for his third book called White Man Awaken. I pretty much guess what that book's about. That book is saying that not only is segregation good, and the white man has to awaken to that fact, have to realize we can't integrate. Not only is segregation good, Buck says, not me, not only is segregation good, but the aliens segregate themselves by race. So we should too. If we want to join, he didn't put that in the commandments. I don't think many newspapers would think the story was so fun at that point. But he said the aliens segregate themselves by a race, so we should too. I don't know any copies of that book he sold. It's a bit of a departure. It's a bit less fun than my trip to Mars, the Moon, and Venus. But here's another plot twist, and we're going to wrap it up like this, because I did a lot of research on this guy. Just kept finding the funniest stuff. I was like, dude, can I get a copy of this book? I was thinking that'd be kind of cool. Like I would want like an original. Like one that Buck held himself in his pure white hands, his pure Aryan hands. It really does sully the story a little bit, doesn't it? You're like, oh, that's funny. This guy has a dog. His cat got disintegrated. He's going on these fun adventures. And then in his old age, he's like, keep the races separate. They shall never meet. I think it'd be cool to have a copy of this book. Original would be cool, but, you know, just to kind of thumb through it. So I was looking around on Amazon, and there's an updated version of this book published in 2017 called My Trip to Mars, the Moon, and Planet A. What? So they actually state in the description of the book, Buck never went to Venus, because we know there's no life on Venus. You go, there's no life on Mars either. Well, okay, let's give them that there's life on Mars and there's life on the Moon. The new publishers of this book, who they say are in cahoots with the Galactic Federation, we'll get to that in a second, it just can't stop being weird. They go, listen, we know, because we're allies of the Galactic Confederation, that Buck never went to Venus. There's an evil group of aliens out there, and what they do is they change your mind. They change your memories. They make you believe stuff that's not scientifically true. They can even give you negative feelings. They can do all this mental stuff. And so it tricked him, these evil enemies of the Galactic Confederation, tricked Buck into thinking he was on Venus to make him a laughing stock when humans discovered there was no life on Venus. The fact of the matter is, he did go to Mars, he did go to the Moon, and he went to Planet A, which is where the skyscrapers are and the television set you can yell at and all of that stuff. Venus has no life on it. We know that, but Planet A is where Bucky and Bob Solomon and Big Bo and the Wrinkled Man all live. It is a viable civilization. The enemies of the Confederation are trying to trick you. Buck Nelson's an interesting story. He's really a footnote in history. And even in UFOlogy, so well known at the time, he's actually hobnobbing with some other big UFO contactees at the time. Just wrong time for his story. Had he started this story talking about Mars and Venus and stuff 20 years earlier? Well, listen, man, there's a clock and it was tick-tocking the whole time. Eventually, we were going to learn about those planets. Eventually, we were going to see that his stories weren't real. The question is did he, there's two questions here, really. I think we can all assume that he did not go to Venus. Probably not Mars or the moon either. The question is, did he make the stories up whole cloth? Was he sitting on his porch one day and his cat exploded and he's like, oh, we got to figure out a way to explain that. And he made up the whole story. Did he make up the story for attention? Did he make up the story to write books and sell them to City Slickers? Or did he actually have some sort of UFO encounter? That's really the question here. And if he did have a UFO encounter, why is it so wrong? Because every part of it is wrong. It has some zany cast of characters. Which is fine, right? We covered that episode a long time ago where a kid gets abducted by aliens and there's like a bear. He's like in a cage and then the cage next to him is a grizzly bear. We've covered stories like that before. So the eclectic cast of characters, that's fine. The healing beam of light, that's fine. We've covered stuff like that before. It's just really this idea that if he had said that they took him to another star system, the only people who would have questioned it were the skeptics, but I don't think it would have grabbed the zeitgeist of the time. People wanted the aliens to be so close. If you told them the aliens were so far away and you'd never see them, then that's way different than to think they're literally next door. It invoked that magic. It told the people at any time you could be visited. And really, more importantly than that, not only could you be visited, you could be cured of what ails you. And more important than that, you'd go on a grand adventure. If Buck could get picked out of his simple life, taken on a UFO to see things most men only dream of, then maybe that can happen to you too. Maybe your otherwise dreary, monotonous life can in an instant be changed. You can look up and see a hovering disc and fly to Venus. Like, that was the magic of that story. It really did. It really tapped into a moment. And I think that's what's attractive about a lot of these types of UFO stories. They're kind of rare. A lot of negative alien encounters, a lot of lost time encounters with hypnotic regression. There's not a ton of encounters, even in the 60s, where you have people going on a space adventure. Maybe they have a nice interaction with aliens on Earth. Maybe they have a nice interaction with aliens on their spaceship, but they don't get to go to the alien's house on Venus and watch television. It's a beautiful story if you really sit back and think about it. It could be 100% made up. I honestly am going to split the baby. I think that he experienced something. But I'm not going to say the enemies of the Galactic Confederation messed with his mind. I think he probably did have some sort of alien encounter. It may not have been this fantastical. He may have made details up about it. Or it could all be true. In a way. But scientifically, there's no life on Venus. We have not sighted any houses. Mars definitely doesn't look like the Ozarks. I don't know. There's something beautiful about this story. Here's the thing. It could also be the story of a con man who bought 10,000 hot dog buns. And he's like, oh, I got to keep making stuff up. You got to get more money. He 100% could be a con man. But this is my best kind of con man. I mean, forget the racist stuff. The best kind of con man is someone who's not actively preying on people. He just wanted to sell books. He just wanted to tell a story. If the story is 100% fake, the story behind the story I find equally interesting. That a man in the middle of Bupkis, USA could start a movement and hundreds of people would show up year after year at his barn. That, to me, is just as interesting as a story. And we know it's 100% true. And the story of him flying to Venus, while, if true, is quite amazing. The story of a man reshaping his life through a series of letters and books. That story's pretty cool as well. It's a good kind of con. You're not hurting anybody. You're like, Jason, you didn't write a book talking about how great segregation was. Yeah, I know that. That was not the best book. That is a hurtful book. But people looking up at the sky, believing that not somewhere out there, but somewhere close by, there were humans, other humans living a perfect life. And someday we would join them in perfection. Someday Earth would be lifted up into this galactic paradise. And even today, that story rings true. Even today, people who love the UFO phenomenon, be they experts or someone who just likes hearing a good story, the idea that someday we will be lifted out of our own problems, the situations that we have created as a people, lifted out of that and ascend into a galactic brotherhood, that sits at the core, I believe, of so many people who love the UFO phenomenon. Because it tells us that even though we may not know how to get out of the situations we've created, someone will help us do that. Someone will keep us from destroying ourselves. A force outside of the planet is watching out for us like a big brother over a young sibling. No matter how bad things get, our space brothers and sisters have our back, and someday they will come. Someday they will rescue us. Someday we will join them in peace and harmony. And to a lot of people on Earth, those stories give them the best feeling of all. Hope. DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. TikTok is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm so glad you listened to it today. Have a great day, guys.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.